spread the truth. Document it. Prove it. Make it irrefutable, and you too will become dangerous to those who admire us in lies and enslave us in socialism.
But because they are lying, it's possible to expose them. And this is their Achilles heel. By comparison, we have nothing to hide, therefore we have no reason to lie. And we wouldn't want to, even if we could. Truth is a far superior weapon than deceit. It's a weapon which is denied to them. And in the end, it will be the decisive weapon that destroys them completely.
Latinas.
100% pants on fire.
The Havana syndrome.
Headaches and a loud noise.
Clearly acts of aggression, acts of war.
Scientists say the sounds were crickets.
Havana syndrome. Our enemies might be weaponizing technology, beaming something to hurt people's brains.
The claims are scientifically implausible.
Donald Trump to now investigate a conspiracy theory about COVID coming from a lab in Wuhan.
This theory needs to be investigated, which is what President Biden is doing.
Hunter Biden's laptop reveals emails.
We shouldn't look at it as anything other than a Russian disinformation operation.
The Hunter Biden laptop material is genuine.
The murder of a police officer, Officer Brian Sicknick, was killed in the line of duty. They beat a Capitol Police officer to death.
Officer Sicknick died of natural causes.
The Steele dossier. It may be dirty, but it ain't fake.
Obviously, the Steele dossier is discredited by far, actually.
I mean, this is the lunatic response to what is a very rational, evidence-based, fact-based investigation.
FBI pleads guilty to doctoring email.
What the report shows is something that won't be surprising to people that have spent a lot of time in the federal government.
The report left former officials aghast.
The FBI is exonerated today.
It doesn't vindicate anyone at the FBI who touched this.
They are all absolved of any wrongdoing.
The activities we found here don't vindicate anybody.
The Trump administration cleared peaceful Black Lives Matter protesters so the president could take a photo in front of a church.
We did not find evidence that federal agents used CS gas. The DC police used the CS gas.
Protesters were gassed to clear the way for Trump's photo op.
Demonstrators were pushed out to allow contractors to build a fence. A response to damage done during the two previous nights of rioting.
Russians offered a bounty for the killing of U.S. soldiers.
U.S. Intel walks back claim Russians put bounties on American troops.
This mountain of evidence that we now have of bounties that Russia paid.
The Biden White House acknowledged there was little evidence.
January 6th committee's investigation into a 7-hour, 37-minute gap. Possible cover-up in the records of calls, and it is no coincidence.
The call logs are complete with no missing pages. The gap is explained by use of White House landlines and cell phones.
These are the facts. Let that sink in.
We got to watch out because the Republicans have become the purveyors of misinformation. And when our two-party system is broken like that, democracy is seriously in trouble. The president acknowledged that. It's time to actually start doing things and maybe taking some names and putting people in jail.
I mean, wow, Carl, let me follow up with you. I mean, what you...
The decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, too. Anyway.
Bruh.
Talking about the deep state and things like that, which is a thread among conspiracy communities here in the United States, that there is this secret cabal here in Washington working to undermine the American people. It couldn't be farther from the truth as someone who works with and around public servants every day.
Prove me wrong. Was Jeffrey Epstein a Mossad agent? Did he provide funding to Carbine? A limited partnership that was set up by the former Israeli prime minister? Did the Leslie Wexler Foundation really donate millions of dollars to Israel? Did Israel participate in years worth of illegal organ donating, even though organ donating was prohibited under Judaism? Does the ADL constantly promote tech censorship, especially against conservatives? Who runs the media? Did the former Israeli vice consul Ari Shur run a child pedophile ring in his house? Who promotes pornography the most and doesn't want men to participate in No Nut November? USS Liberty, dancing Israelis.
I'm vaxxed, I'm waxed, and I'm back in action.
Children watch of this. Color could go to a safe place during these conversations and not segregation.
Oh boy. And your son's father, who's African American, how does he feel about all this?
I'm a single mom.
Bruh. How's it going, everybody? Good to see you. I hope you're doing really well today. It is Friday, my dudes. It is actually 3:14 right now, but it is the 20th of May, 2022. It's good to see you all. Hope you're doing very well. How are you, Lana?
Good. I guess 3:14 is a nod to me. I just realized the other day, holy cow, I should do a live stream or something. I've been doing 3:14 for 10 years this May.
Congrats.
Actually, the first interview I did was with a friend, Elaine, in Ireland, and we're still friends. It's pretty cool. So,
yeah, Elaine is great. Her husband,
too. A lot's happened since then.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. Guys, good to see you all. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday. Maybe it's late where you are, but we thank you for joining us live or later on in the archives. If you want to join us today, there are a couple of methods, entropystream.live/redeyestv. We have also have Odyssey, that's open. And I heard, by the way, that I didn't bring in the tweet here, but they were fixing some of the issues, specifically on buffering. And I know that you guys had some issues, at least on the live stream. So they fixed all the buffering on the, like, the not live end, whatever you call that, video playback end. And they're going to do it on the live feed soon here. So that should be up and running. But anyway, Rumble also is open for super chats if that's a method you prefer. We'll try to keep an eye on that here during the show. And powerchat.live/redice. And if there's someone out there that wants a crypto unique, what do you call it, specific option, Cointree /redicetv as well. All right, but otherwise we have I was trying to really hurry to get your video down because we just
it was literally 10 minutes to render. That was it, right?
Yeah, and I gotta start up the software. I can't finish rendering it, but anyway, so that will go up later today.
I whipped
as well
up a little video, yes, on the dangerous conspiracy theory of the great replacement, right?
It's so, like the undeniable proof,
short proof. And sweet, yeah. Like 5-minute video.
Yeah, so share that around with everybody. It'll go up on redeyes.tv, all the main channels, redeyesmembers.com, of course, a little bit later, so check that out. But before we get into the meat today, we're going to talk about moneypox. You could say monkeypox, but really, is it to squeeze up more money, or is it actually real? Is it real this time? Are people actually going to start dying now for reals? I'm not talking about the vaccine, because that's we know about
that. I love all the monkey memes going around now.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? All right. Anyway, so we'll get into that. We're also going to talk a bit about apparently there's like some weird things with like parasites and low T levels and weird news, but
parasites make you sexy. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I guess so. And of course, the conscious, deliberate collapse of our system is continuing by intentionally keeping energy costs really, really high. The economy is down the toilet. They're literally pouring billions down the chute, as it were. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But AOC.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I can't stand her either. But the anti-white political activist AOC, part Puerto Rican and part Jewish, who constantly hates on white men, blames them for all the world's problems. Well, she just got engaged to one. Yeah, Riley Roberts. There he is. Kiss that red hair goodbye, should they procreate. I hope not. He grew up in a wealthy area in Arizona. He's the one who did most of the work to get her elected. But really, he must be a doormat. I can see her totally controlling this relationship and wearing the pants. But someone made this a good comment in under my post. They said, she's woke in the streets and colonized in the sheets.
I think
that's a very good one. Because it's funny how that works for so many of them, right? So woke, but then they're always in bed with the white guy, right? Again,
they need the white. Let's hope. They need the white man, I guess, for now. Until they can detox. I mean, I'm not sure if it's... When I look at someone like, the CNN guy's name again? The gay guy there. What's his name? Lemon, right? Don Lemon.
Yeah.
He might be the passive one, though, but if he's active, it's like he's doing it because he's of, the like, taker? Out of spite, right? Isn't it like...
Well, it looks like her husband's probably the taker, too, you know?
That could very well be. Her strap-on AOCs just get it loaded up, you know? Serious pegging tonight, Ginger. All right. What was the other one here?
This is funny. Okay. Guy holding his balls here. So we didn't need a study to see this obvious thing.
Your foreskin, ladies. Not ladies. I hope not. Gentlemen. Okay, go ahead.
Testosterone administration induces a red shift in Dems. This was published November 2021 by Paul Zak, director of the Center for...
Wait. November and Zak...
November, yeah, no, published in November by Professor Paul Zak,
scrotum.
Not Sack, but Zak. Okay, I know. The director of the Center for Neuroeconomic Studies at Claremont, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so paraphrase it here. His research has made a substantial impact in explaining the variation in human social behaviors and has been cited by other scholars over 18,000 times. So this study is out there, right? Zach's latest findings reveal a link between testosterone levels and political preference through analyzing 136 voting age males during 2012. Good old year of 2012. Get the ball sack out of mine. Researchers administered synthetic testosterone or placebo to participants who previously disclosed their political affiliations. When weekly affiliated Dems received additional testosterone, they reported 45% warmer feelings for Republican candidates for president. And so it would be like Trump around this time, right? They reiterated that there's a correlation between individuals with lower T having left-wing political beliefs, right? The study said, our findings provide evidence that neuroactive hormones affect political preferences. Hormone-affected politics, they call it. Now, we've all known this occult secret for years, right? But we're glad that this is coming out to the lamestream finally. But it's why liberals don't want to touch it, and they prefer, you know, people to just go trans, because the less T, the more left society is going to get, the more weak it's going to get. So endocrine disruptors, which we've been talking about for years, are actually good for lefty politics.
Oh, yeah.
So is soy. Oh, yeah. So is fat acceptance. It's why they keep attacking, you know, peak male fitness as being fascist. And I bet if that they did a study on women too, that they would find that more feminine, attractive women tend to be on the right, obviously. But Henrik, speaking of fitness being fascist, this kind of reminded me, we were looking the other day for a picture of Theodore Adorno.
Yep.
A few shows back. Now, this guy was the half Jew. Hold on, just leave it up there while I explain who this guy is. This guy was a half Jewish sociologist, psychologist who was part of the Frankfurt School, partially responsible for all this suicidal lingo and thoughts, you know, killing the West today. He wrote a book called The Authoritarian Personality. Here he is with his noodle arms on the beach. Now, the description of his book says, what makes a fascist? Are there character traits that make someone more likely to vote for the far right? The Authoritarian Personality is not only one of the most significant works of social psychology ever written, it also marks a milestone in the development of Adorno's thought, showing him grappling with the problem of fascism and the reason for Europe's turn to reaction. So we can see why he was intimidated by strongmen just based on that picture. In fact, he created something called the F scale. Yep. Now, let me bring up the little description here. We wanted to do a separate video on this because
we
talked about it in a video I did a long time ago, getting into some of these Frankfurt School guys.
Yep.
1947 personality test designed by Adorno and others to measure the authoritarian personality. The F stands for fascist, right? So there's a scale of like, how fascist are you, right? It measures responses on different components of authoritarianism, aggression, superstition, power, toughness, they put in quotes, projectivity.
Because it doesn't it's really scared men, you know, unlike Adorno here.
Yeah, exactly. The goal is to beat down guys who can take care of business and shut down their subversive agenda to just totally destroy white Western culture, right? So they come up with these bullshit tests, right? It's classic, though, this authoritarian, well, the paper-pushing kind, obviously, not on the battlefield kind.
Not the strong man.
It says that being an authoritarian is bad so that he can get control, right? But I found you can actually take this test here. Let me find it. The F-scale test. There's a picture of, is that Mussolini on the top? We can queue that up so people can go.
Oh, yeah, here.
To,
yeah.
So you can actually take the test, and it's kind of too long. Otherwise, maybe I'd take it live. But the first question is, obedience and respect for authority are the most important virtues children should learn. It's like, well, parental authority, yeah. Government authority, not this day and age, not so much. But right away, like...
Will you agree that we can get in there and manipulate your kids right away and have them kind of rebel against you and stop listening to you?
We were just skimming through and we're like, oh, we can spot the cultural Marxist bullshit propaganda immediately when you take this test, like the way that they're like trying to trap you. And so let's see how many of you are an F on the F scale.
So you can... The link here, if you want to look at that, is ANESI. I'm not sure. What does that stand for again? ANESI.com/fscale.htm. That'll get you to this page.
And I guess there's scores. And in the 1950s, when this came out, men averaged, American men averaged 3 to 4.5. So they're kind of somewhere in the middle. Right. So we got to get them farther down that scale. I think they're much farther down. I think they're closer to an F in 2022, a portion of the men, anyway.
There was a comment, what was it someone made that really, what was it? Was it last week or the week before? Muscle-bound men. Oh, it was when we were looking at the ball, speaking of ball sacks, right? The ball, testicle tanning. Remember that segment we did?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, it's really these muscle-bound men that are scare little boys. But it's like, well, the Adornos are literally the scared little boys that are. But there's a twist to the story where, of course, these types of individuals... who are, of course, meekish, you know, face-to-face, man-on-man, or have this, like just psychotic, genocidal, like, inner desire, basically.
Well, that's just because of the Holocaust, right? It's okay.
This is before that, though, right?
This was 1950. This was out of the Frankfurt School, right? So they're always paranoid that a fascist is going to rise up and sniff out their agenda, right? And kick them out of maybe, 110th country or 100 whatever country.
Because, the
Holocaust is always around the corner. So we got to do this test and we got to map out all these men and see where they are.
Let's do as many behaviors as possible that could get people around us as angry as possible at us. That's the win, right?
Exactly.
All right. Anyway, do you want to take a couple of the?
Sure. Let's see. Jimmy Fallis. I hear that these monkeypox cases are just amongst the homos. We'll talk about that.
Yep.
In case anybody needed to hear this, do not smash with Scott. No.
Smash with Scott.
We still have that on the go. Wow. Jimmy Fallis. Hello, Henrik and Lana. Good to see you. I hope you're doing well.
Pretty good.
You
thank
too.
You.
And another one from you, Polk Zach, just so that we could hear that said one more time.
Polk Zach.
So, okay, I didn't actually hear it that way until you spelled it out. Paul Zach.
Paul
does
Zach.
Sound like Paul Zach. Zach.
Yeah, of course. That's what I was laughing about all that time.
Oh, boy. Okay. I was just laughing at the last part, but I didn't even get. Okay. Lars Agerbuck. Today is Muhammad Day? What is that? Draw Muhammad Day. This is my contribution. Fits in fine with the theme of today's episode, I think.
Lars Vilks, right? Is that from his thing? Let me see here. Okay,
I was looking at a video here. Someone's drawing it.
Speaking of ball sacks. That's someone's funny. We got to show that. That is kind of funny, actually. Okay, here we go. I'll just
Muhammad
mute the audio
balls,
there. Here's drawing. Is this drawing Muhammad?
There we go.
By Lars Agerbuck. Here we go. Speaking about Paul Zacks. Right?
Holy shit, I can't believe I missed them. I was like, why are you almost crying in tears over there?
It's very funny. Uh-oh, protect your foreskins, as I said, gentlemen. Here, we got a snatcher here. We got a collector.
So it's going to be Muhammad then, huh?
Oh, God, this is great. This is high content.
Wait, who's drawing this? Is this actually you drawing this?
I think it's Lars, yeah.
Is it actually you doing that? That is awesome.
It's on his YouTube channel. Maybe he snatched it.
Let's see, when's the upload here? Four views, May 20th. May 20th. I think he just uploaded that for us. Maybe.
Having hair on the tip, is that high tiers or is that low tier? Thank you, Lars.
Oh, man.
It kind of looks like one of the drawings that Lars Vilks would do, though, kind of, right? Doesn't it?
It's funny.
Awesome. Thank you,
Laura, for sharing.
That's
very
amazing.
Important work.
All right.
You got to laugh. Beautiful. Come on.
No, you're not allowed.
We can mock Muhammad and care less about that psychopath.
Another foreskin.
Another study. Snatcher. Science says a brain hijacking parasite makes men and women appear more attractive and healthier looking to non-infected individuals. Yes, hear me out. This brain hijacking parasite, Toxoplasma gondii, seems to be almost everywhere. The parasite has been linked with a range of neurological disorders, schizophrenia, psychotic episodes. This is great. Let's take it and look sexy, right? Scientists keep uncovering more mysterious effects that may result from infection. In one new study, researchers found that men and women infected by the parasite ended up being rated as more attractive and healthier. Researchers hypothesize some of the effects of this parasite. Like, why are they even doing this study? I'll get into that later. In one study, toxoplasma-infected male rats were perceived as more sexually attractive and preferred as sexual partners by non-parasite-infected females. Researchers explain in a new paper led by author and biologist Xavier Boras-Leon from the University of Turku in Finland. Important work in Finland there.
Yeah.
Much research has been devoted to investigating whether similar effects can be seen in the case of T. gondii in the human cases of infection, right? The evidence is far from clear, but some evidence suggests infected men have higher levels of testosterone than non-infected men, meaning the parasite actually prefers hosts, male hosts that have more T levels, because I think it realizes that its chances of survival are much higher, right? That it's going to attract other parasites to it, like, ooh, who's that host, right? So arguably, men with higher levels of testosterone could be more likely to become infected by the parasite, though greater levels of risk-taking behavior associated with the hormone. An alternate view, however, is that parasites might be capable of subtly altering its host phenotype. Okay, I don't see anyone getting hotter right there. It's funny they just use brown people in this, right? It can subtly alter the phenotype, manipulating chemicals in the animal's body, such as neurotransmitters and hormones, for its own ends. Those alterations can be far-reaching, this team suggests. Arguably, okay, no, I already read that. So this parasite may not be our enemy after all, they claim. We can benefit from this co-evolutionary strategy because it makes you hotter, so then you attract possibly another mate. It's like, ooh, you have a parasite that makes you're sexier now, right? And then the parasite has a better chance of spreading to other hosts. So if you're unattractive, you could always take this parasite to alter your phenotype because parasites are actually a good thing. Why are we even looking into this? I mean, they're actually continuing research with this stuff. I mean, to me, everything's just becoming, it's fake, it's altered, it's unnatural, it's edited. Like, how can you fool people, right? Like, you're still going to be who you are.
Yeah. It's kind of turning into this kind of show here, though. It's kind of silly, but like, T. gondii? You're going to die.
Oh, jeez.
T. gondii. Well, T's going to die on this one.
Well, someone mentioned in the comments that years ago, this parasite actually led to you being more docile and lethargic, which makes more sense because it's like a vampire that's living inside of you, sucking off of you, right? But they're trying to sell it as, hey, this might be a win-win situation here, humans.
It's weird.
Take this parasite, you'll get hotter, you know? And it's a co-evolutionary strategy. I don't know. It just seemed really messed up.
There's always something you need to take or like get into or something that benefits them at the end. And then they say, well, no, you'll have all these other great things, side effects of this, right? Let us just put this ganglion in your brain, and then you'll start doing great. You'll get men out there. You'll start hitting the sack, you know, much more often. Yeah. It's all good. Here we go. Here's the parasite.
Yeah. So the people that did this same study, I just did a quick search on the guy who this Xavier guy was, and he did on a SciPost. Let me pull that up. People with more narcissistic and psychopathic traits report having a higher number of sexual partners. So they're actually doing studies on this. I almost felt like they were kind of promoting it a little bit. They were like, oh, well, we didn't actually test psychopaths and narcissists, but there was a series of questions and, you know, people found that kind of behavior more attractive. It kind of reminds me of, you know, Dunning-Kruger or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Well, it's because a psychopath have no emotional really self-understanding, neither of anyone else. And I mean, yeah, in many regards, people are like, oh, well, that person looks like they're very confident. They're,
full of themselves.
Psycho, you know, like narcissistic.
And it's funny because they even say in this, they call it the dark triad personality tests, which consists of narcissism, Machiavellianism, and psychopathy, may be useful for short-term mating strategies for men.
There you go.
So, you know, you psychopaths out there, well, just in case you want to spread your seed.
I'm not against some Machiavellian tactics here and there.
Of course not. Yeah,
they had to throw that in. But, you know, the other stuff, yeah, not so much. And again, it's like, well, I guess this would fit ping back to our last week's show when we talked about Andrew Tate. Was it Tate, right?
Yeah.
That you have that there, basically, right? Like a psychopath, you know.
Like, I'm the shit. And then these dumb girls are like, ooh, grifters. He's confident.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's so hot. I can get ahead. Yeah, someone, we put that up as its own segment, right, on the websites and the channels. And someone's like, you don't know what you're talking about. These people
Lauren clip there, the Lauren Ashton clip.
Because he's, you know, that's the leader of the dissident
right
there.
We're not defending this.
Of course not. We mentioned it at the end as well. Like, yeah, of course, we're not saying that he didn't do this. In fact, I afterwards, too, there was more information to go through and stuff, and I was looking through some more threads on this
people
guy.
People sent some stuff about this guy and all this.
And it was never, like, denying that it was happening. We're just saying it's a definition issue. Well, one, like, get your terms right. This is not dissident right. This is, adjacent to mainstream conservatives. You know,
it's closer to the grifter merchants, like Cernovich was hanging out with this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And this guy, turns out, I had tweeted about it, has a whole, you know, online porn activities where he's on camera beating up different European girls.
Yep.
And even though it's acting, so it seems like there's girls that are going along with this too on camera. I mean, I don't think they're all kidnapped. Maybe he did kidnap some of them, but there's some girls that do. Too.
He bragged of like, well, I can control them and get them to do whatever I want them to do. So why not use them to make money? That's, you know, people's like open about that. So anyway, so hopefully the guy rots in jail. But the point is too. So you say these girls are hanging around dudes like this because they think there might be some benefit to it.
Of course, and also if these girls here knew the dirt about Andrew Tate, why didn't you speak up?
Exactly. Immediately.
You witness human trafficking and then you don't say anything. Nope. If you really did, I mean,
it's just like the Hollywood Me Too people, basically, right? Same thing. Same thing. All right. So, boys and girls, we have it seems to be really happening. Monkeypox have been detected, allegedly, apparently, in a bunch of countries now.
Just European
UK,
countries?
UK, Sweden, I thought Belgium, it came from Portugal, Congo. Germany, Spain, Italy, Australia, I almost said Austria, US and Canada. Yeah,
Australia, it's all the same thing. It's like, I was telling someone, like, oh, we lived in Sweden, and he was like, oh, I know someone who lives in Switzerland.
Their clocks
and chocolate
are great.
He said, I know someone who lives in Switzerland. I was like, nice, that's Switzerland.
No, Bufosh, we build... you know, Kung Carl Gustav, we build, weaponry and Volvos. That's what we do. All right. Anyway, so, yes, we'll get into the origin a little bit here. You know, where this possibly might be coming from, which is, of course, kind of an interesting story, right? But if you do, if the K is silent, you get
that's what I read the first time. I was like, moneypox.
Moneypox,
right? I saw right away.
And I think we have it identified. We've found the source of the new disease. In fact, isn't it fascinating how the very people that tells us, we need this to, like, you know, study something, or we need more money to be prepared for something. Then miraculously, just like literally a few months later, it kind of just pops up on the scene. And here we go. Pandemic 2.
Oh, I know.
Remember what Bill said, right? The first COVID thing was just a warning. It was like a shot across the bow. The next one, though, that's where it's at, right? We speculated maybe it's Marburg, maybe it's smallpox. Are they going with monkeypox? Who knows? Again, we can't even... at this point, we can't even be certain any of this is real. I mean, it could just be media-driven, right? Or it could be real, but it might not be that dangerous. Or they try to hoodwink us into saying, make them believe it's just another COVID, but then we actually, like, release it and people start dying, right? So anyway, so here's Bill Gates, right? Warns of smallpox, right? But it's of course, in the related family, right? Bill Gates warned of smallpox, terror attacks, and urges leaders to use germ games to prepare. And we played that the other day, too. His germ team, right? He's asking for billions of dollars.
And he wonders why people have all these conspiracy theories about him when he's like, says things like this and then it happens, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He wanted a big team all this money to basically give all these nations to give up their sovereignty so that if and when a new pandemic pops up, we'll take full control. And of course, this is happening right adjacent to the World Health Organization's World, what was it called, the Health Assembly, right? Which I covered some in the Wednesday show as well. So miraculously, not tomorrow, Sunday, May 22nd, the World Health Assembly is going to have this huge panel going for 6 days where they're going to discuss signing this pandemic treaty, right? So this is like perfect timing, right? Danish smallpox vaccine gets FDA approval to fight bioterrorism, right? And of course, here we go. The U.S. is now buying millions, that's right, millions of monkeypox vaccines as one guy, allegedly in one state, Massachusetts, have been infected. Let's play this clip here real quick.
As you received notice from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, there's a patient in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts who has been confirmed to have infection with monkeypox. That patient is currently hospitalized at Massachusetts General Hospital and is admitted to our special pathogens program. He is in stable condition, and Dr. Chenoy will let you know additional details. Massachusetts General Hospital is the designated regional emerging special pathogens treatment center for the New England area, for the six states, and the patient is doing well, safely in isolation in our unit.
So the patient was admitted on the 12th. They were being evaluated for various symptoms. During the course of their admission, they were identified as a possible monkeypox suspect. And this was really unusual because the patient had no travel history, no exposure to animals that would be known to be reservoirs. However, the team, thinking about the patient and hearing just over the weekend about some of the cases in the United Kingdom, thought more broadly about the patient's diagnosis. When they did that, they communicated that directly to myself. We communicated with the public health authorities. We transferred the patient throughout the course of the day to our special pathogens unit, where they've remained. We are in the process, as you can imagine, of working with public health authorities on contact tracing of our employees, of patients, and of visitors. And that's going to continue over the course of the next several days.
It's going to take them back to some sketchy lab, their contract tracing, right?
But so the big question is, well, how did he get it then, right? And that we'll touch upon that in a moment, right? But
yeah, this is interesting. Why are they all freaking out? Because apparently they have a vaccine, right? The FDA approved a vaccine for smallpox and monkeypox 1 month before the approval of COVID. This was September 2019.
Just a coincidence.
Isn't
folks.
That interesting?
Just a coincidence. Yeah, nothing to do with anything whatsoever.
Go.
And
ready
of course, again, that's why, of course, why they're buying. Let me see. It was what I mean. Check out there. The order amounts to $119 million. Almost $120 million because of one case. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, it's crazy money.
All right,
it's crazy money.
Anyway, so that's done, right?
Now,
but
yes.
Pink
news.
Here? Yeah.
There, you know, I've been seeing this fly around
pink.
That it's affecting gay and
pink
bi
news.
Well, that's gay news, Henrik. Yeah. So, are gay and bisexual men more at risk? And I was reading through this, blah blah blah, and then I get to this one part. I was like, "Whoa, I can't believe they wrote that." Is monkeypox a sexually transmitted infection? And there's a doctor here, Claire Dewsnap, the president of the British Association for Sexual Health and HIV, says one thing that we don't know for certain is whether the reason we're seeing it in gay men is because they're going to clinics. She tells Pink News. It's very common for a gay man who's been sexually active with a new partner to think, I've got a funny rash. It could be syphilis.
Will
it could
look
be
at
herpes.
That. Hey,
I'll go to
rash.
The clinic. So it's just, we need to. Because the first thing when I saw that, I was like, well, aren't they at risk of everything anyway? We need to be very careful, though, to remember that it's a virus that spread through close contact, and the vast majority of monkeypox cases have been in heterosexual community in Africa, which then brings us to the point of
monkeys.
What is it doing here? Well, yeah, monkeys, how did it just get here? I mean, it's coming from Congo as an origin point, but Africans bringing it in? Is it in a lab? Is
maybe
it even happening?
Maybe from the ding dong, yeah.
Got a picture of that sore.
Yep.
And then they use a picture of, was that like, what are those hands there? It looks like a small hand and a
And then the large hand? Yeah. The small hand? Yeah, what's that?
I don't know. It's really an ugly choice.
Is this a pedophile giveaway?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like little kid fingers.
What the hell?
On fat sausage fingers.
But then, like, but look, we both have it because, you know, we're engaged together.
It's just gross.
Can't I pull that up? I can't pull up my drawing thing. All right. Anyway, you see, what the hell is that?
But I would have a hard time believing that they would manufacture something to take out, you know, a bunch of gay men because that could be useful to them, though. They're voting liberal, generally.
There's some interesting things here. Remember Fauci, his little visits to the gay bathhouses back in the 70s and stuff, right?
AIDS is transmitted up close. Yes.
Yeah, it was fascinating. Can you imagine Fauci with a pen and a paper? Studying the ritual mating, rituals of homos in bars in New York in the 1970s. Fascinating. Anyway, and so there's all these weird things around Fauci, right? It's like, Croco sent a tweet earlier, and he said, remember Fauci, he put money into...
tax dollars to study transgender monkeys.
How to make them trans, right?
Yeah, isn't to make the them thing? Trans.
Like, how to actually make them trans, I think, right?
And that could be like, oh, well, they're just testing out these gender-bending chemicals or whatever before they use them on, people, on humans, because they do test on animals, which is horrible. Or there could be something more nefarious going on, right?
Well, again, we know that the system benefits from weaker men. They want to turn everybody trans
just
or
like
gay
that study,
or stuff, right?
You know?
And then again, in connection with that, if that also is a lifestyle, maybe because of the mating, protocols, whatever you want to call it, or maybe let's say all the drugs and crazy things, right? Remember the years ago we covered the AIDS thing that it was like the reason why they're getting these immune problems is because of their lifestyle. Yeah. They're like drugs and partying and it's just, they're not eating, all these things, right? But anyway, so the point is that all of this could be like designed to like make you something that they benefit from, and then that will make you sick, and then they can come in and offer the solution again, and here's a new vaccine, or what, all crazy stuff, right? Anyway, here's so the World Health Organization, I was warning, warns summer festivals, mass gatherings could accelerate spread of monkeypox, right? Here we go again. They might be running with this. Just prepare, okay? I don't know how deadly it is. There's things to look into in more detail here. Should you be afraid? Who's most susceptible? Don't put it past them to actually release something this time that actually will start killing people. Maybe the vaccine drive wasn't enough. People aren't dying fast enough. New thing out. Who knows, right? So this is kind of interesting, too. And this speaks to this, like, well, how the hell did it jump from humans or from animals to humans? And then does it only spread in, among gays, for example? Like, all these questions, right? So the U.S. government...
No, it does not. Obviously.
It doesn't what?
It doesn't just spread amongst gays, obviously.
Okay, yeah. Yes. But they're more susceptible to it or something. Anyway, U.S. government...
Well, if they're doing monkeys, I don't know. I mean, can it go from, like, animal to human? Is that how it started in the Congo?
Speaking of that, let's take this next article here, tweet into effect, right, or into consideration while you think about that. U.S. government researchers in the 1950s were infecting monkeys with smallpox.
Yeah, why the hell?
Monkeypox was first seen in 1958 in monkeys used in medical experiments. The first recorded human case occurred during a smallpox vaccination drive in the Congo in 1970. So now, see, here's the CDC website here, right? Monkeypox was first discovered in 1958 when two outbreaks of pox-like disease occurred in colonies of monkeys kept for research. Hence the name monkeypox. The first human case of monkeypox was recorded in 1970 in Congo during a period of intense effort to eliminate smallpox. So basically, we got to fix this thing. And whoops, here it is, this new version of this thing. And,
so
this
white
is a problem,
supremacy,
right?
Is to blame. Right?
Yes, exactly. This is, of course, whites trying to kill blacks, right? But
not big pharma, not a few, right? It's just like, yeah.
Well, regardless, we're definitely, the payback is coming hard with this COVID mRNA vaccine. Because that's not being rolled up in mass in Africa or even Asia. Some countries aren't doing the mRNA thing at all, right? But anyway, so you have to ask yourself, so if only monkeys, okay, did it go from monkeys or is it people that are engaging in monkeys or is it airborne? We don't know. A lot of questions still to ask about this, right? So another thing here too is, of course, it's amazing how they also always manage to predict somehow in some miraculous way that is going to happen. Did I not save that? Let's take a look at this video here first, Anna. I didn't save that clip, dang it. Here it is. NTI. Let me see. It stood for, what is it? Nuclear? Man, I forgot the abbreviation. Nuclear, I forget what it stands for. Testing Initiative. Or it's a threat initiative, I think. Nuclear Threat Initiative, I think it is, right? November 2021. Strengthening global systems to prevent and respond to high consequence biological threats, right? And the Munich Security Conference was very interesting, by the way. A lot of globalists said an awful lot of things during that. We've played clips from that. So this is happening kind of in unison with that. But let me scroll down here a little bit so you can have the executive summary here. But here's the scenarios here, right? The scenario design summary. This is what I was going to pull in here. The discussion was organized into three sequential moves corresponding with scenario developments, followed by a roundtable discussion of broader biosecurity and pandemic preparedness issues. The step-by-step approach to revealing scenario developments reflected the limitation of information available to real-world decision-makers, as well as the results uncertainty associated with a pandemic of unknown origin. And of course, here we go. Attack. So this is a simulated attack here, May 15 of monkeypox, right?
Isn't that a coincidence?
Move one, they have different moves here. When did it happen? Here's another one, January 10th, move two. But again, monkeypox is being used, right? And here's a little bit of a video that they had. I think this was embedded actually in the PDF, so the quality is kind of bad, but they're simulating. Remember event 201? They're basically doing the same thing here, where they're like simulating how would this look, and here's the media reports and all that stuff. So check out this clip here from NTI.
There are growing questions today around a new and deadly outbreak. Scientists determined that this monkeypox virus was engineered.
You don't say.
With limited antiviral drugs and no known effective treatments, countries around the world are struggling to control another pandemic with already devastating effects.
Seeing far fewer cases in countries where governments took early and decisive action.
And some international experts are urging the WHO to adopt a phased approach to warnings.
Time to prepare for the next global pandemic. NTI.org/what is that bio? Right here, here's the group right here. All right, so there you go. You make of that what you will, but we are probably looking at another goddamn outbreak here, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll see. Is this one really going to stick? I mean, most people are just like, yeah. I mean, they're just burnt out on this stuff.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and that's a dangerous thing, because then I told you, it will be the boy who cries wolf, right? And who's like, well, these things, I'm not, and then like it could actually be like start killing people, you know what I mean? I get it. You got to be, until you know what's going on, you got to be careful. You don't trust anything. Oh, you know, never relax around these people. You
know, we never had this, and now it's just like constantly something all the time, forever. Thank you so much.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
He says maybe Congress will have to spend another $40 million to conquer monkeypox.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. You know
rather it. Billion, right?
You know
I mean,
it.
I think billion.
So there's slush funds or whatever. Yeah, millions. Yeah. Billions.
Billions.
Archie says little rodents carry monkeypox. I suspect that it came from gerbiling. We're talking about
the Richard Gere version.
Oh God, that's right, he did. Sick and wrong.
Yeah, catapult. Can we get some catapults in here? Can we just fling these people at large distances? All right. This is interesting, right? Because you know this tug of war with Russia now, and Russia's going to be excluded for everything, and they got their World Economic Forum pages taken down and stuff. But they're coming to the party. And remember, the World Economic Forum still has an active and very good relationship when it comes to the implementation of the fourth industrial revolution in Russia. They're, in fact, a forefront on that. They're a testing ground for that. Russia will actively participate in the upcoming 75th World Health Assembly, which begins on May 22nd, which I mentioned before, aiming for productive work with our international colleagues to address global health care issues. As for rumors that Russia will withdraw from the World Health Organization, they are simply not true. So they're still...
They should.
If they're against the global hegemony, get out of these groups, right? And in fact, here's another one. Russia has announced that it will assist the World Health Organization in developing rapid testing for monkeypox, right? So here's a translated Russian source here.
Oh, God.
To assist the World Health Organization.
But no one would trust it, right? If they did.
Look, if people are being told to trust it, they will trust it. It does. It's not about, you know, reality or, right? I mean, they just, no, this is what we're doing. Okay, there we go, right? Hang on a minute. Doesn't mean that they're done with COVID.
Yeah, I thought it was gone. Said, is that it?
Gentlemen, no.
Oh, and my hope is that that stays that way.
One of the things that we are seeing now, Dr. Zha, is people being infected for a second, third, in some cases, fourth time. As we are 2+ years into this pandemic, what are you learning about these repeat infections in terms of what it means for immunity and also the severity of these infections?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, first and foremost, I think we can now dispense with the misinformation that if you get infected once, you have immunity for life. You know, a lot of people have argued that. We knew that always that that was not the case. The second thing we're learning is that this virus is evolving. I mean, the virus is evolving relatively quickly, trying to escape our immunity. But when people do get that breakthrough infection after vaccines or they get that reinfection, generally it is less severe. And that's, you know, that's obviously a very, very good thing.
Until it kills you.
But we've got to keep working on building up the wall of immunity against this virus.
Oh, so what does that mean?
And we
does
do that with
mean
vaccines,
that we're going to be getting shots every 6 months? My wife just got her fourth shot, right? She had her two initial doses, plus a booster, plus another booster. Are we talking two shots again?
Yeah, he'll just keep doing it.
Right now, look, here's where we are. Right now, we are going to have to update our vaccines in the fall and winter because of what we have out there. I do believe that right now, people who are 50 and above should go out and get that second booster because we have so much infections. And in the short run, yeah, like we've had to boost people about every 6 months. Over the long run, I am confident we're going to develop more durable vaccines. The virus is also going to settle down. And so my hope is over the long run, it comes down to maybe a once-a-year shot. But right now, we're having to boost people a little bit more frequently because of how quickly the virus is continuing to evolve.
There you go. So basically, they're going to run these parallels now. It's going to be the COVID thing. It's going to be reemergence of that. It's going to still be boosters. It's going to be digital IDs. It's going to be all these things. And here's a new one. Here's moneypox. Let's squeeze
a lot of companies are still going to be like, oh, well, you have to have the COVID shot every year, right, if you want to work here.
Absolutely,
that will probably be a thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, they've said as much. They've said that this autumn now, 2022, they're going to roll out a new type of vaccine, which is going to involve, it's going to be what they call a super booster. It's going to have a flu shot component in it.
Oh, my
God. Then it's going to be developed to deal with, is that even a thing anymore? Omicron? No. Like, I don't even know if it is, right? But so, of course, we have, as usual here, a cascading issue on top of another here. Like, as one thing folds, another one folds, dominoes, right? Chain reaction, whatever you want to call it. So Iran, who's doing it, and it kind of begins, it kind of makes sense in a way, right? Countries that are already kind of cut off, maybe they have sanctions against them.
Iran already has tight control, too, on their people.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. And there is, there's a huge, protest. I don't know if it's genuine. I'm not sure if it's a color revolution or a gay op or something. Could very well be grassroots and actually genuine, but, you know, I never trust it without finding out some more details of how we got started and whatnot. But I saw on Telegram tons of footage. They're, massive protests, and they're clamping down real hard in Iran right now. But... Christian over at Ice Age Farmer, and I have to have him back on the show, by the way. I'm not going to try to work on that, get him back, because he does vital work at this point. Had a video here about how Iran is rolling out what they call digital food rationing. Iran is said to be the first country to roll out a food rationing scheme based on a new biometric ID. Well, will you look at that? Where the vaccine passports fail, food passports will now be eagerly accepted by hungry people who can't afford rapid inflation. inflating food prices. This is the realization of a longstanding agenda by the Rockefeller, United Nations, World Economic Forum, and we know who's behind that crowd. As Kissinger put it, to control food is to control people, essentially, right? And here's check out the Zero Hedge has it, or go to IceHedgeFarmer. Is it .org or .com? I think it's .org. IceHedgeFarmer.org. And check out the video here because he breaks it down. It's long. It's like 12 minutes. We don't have time to play the whole thing now. But so that's something that's happening. And again, as I said, they're Russia is taking part of the fourth industrial revolution. They have digital IDs in Iran. These are supposed to countries that are like, kind of outside of the scope of like what Global Homo is doing. No way. They're still part of this, right? Check out this one here.
It's almost like they like to show off, like, look at us and what we're doing.
We can do better than
you. Horrible and tyrannical.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we can do. Look at this. We can even do it better than you. Check out here. Here it's. I say it every time, but for newcomers, The Economist is a publication majority owned by the Rothschilds, right? So they always have these, their covers and lots of clues and stuff, right? The coming food catastrophe, right?
And look at the skulls in the wheat.
That's right. I'm glad you saw that. I was going to zoom in on that. Look at that. That's
Holodomor 2.0.
Death wheat.
That's what they want.
That's basically what it is anyway,
well,
I guess.
Well, yeah, I don't eat the wheat.
But you know, it's
a
symbol,
that's messed up. That's messed up that they put that on there.
And look at the tweet here then. War is tipping a fragile, and this is, of course, it's not because of the war. That's bullshit. But they're using that as an excuse, right? War is tipping a fragile world towards mass hunger. Fixing that is everyone's business. That's why. That's why we have to have globalism.
Yeah, we have to come together.
We got to unify all of us, right? Our latest cover story explains how the calamity can be minimized. So, of course, it's going to be.
And what advice do they give?
Bugs, it's going to be synthetic meat, it's going to be dropping all animal products and,
lab-grown milk from Bill Gates's teat.
Yep, his own cell culture, right? Anyway, here's the article here. I'm not going to go through much too of it, but you get the point. This is what they're wheeling out right now. And in conjunction with this, we have the issue with the energy prices skyrocketing, specifically, of course, for oil, which is driving up the prices for diesel and for gasoline at the pumps. And, we'll look at that in a moment. Let's begin here. This is a hearing, I guess, and three women are there, right, to, answer for what's going on, what's happening, right? Holland or whatever, Helland, I forget her name again. Helland, she's like a kind of like Greenland Inuit, like Alaskan, I guess, or something like that. And then it's Granholm, she's of Swedish descent, Jennifer Granholm. I mean, kooky, crazy lady, like laughing at everybody, like, you should have an electric car, and then there's one woman, another one, which I haven't seen. But let's begin with this clip. I just check out her reaction here, Helen, right, on being what are you doing about the oil and gas? It's the drilling rights. That's what the first clip is about. The drilling rights that they now have canceled. They canceled out there. So basically, what we need, of course, then is we need more drilling contracts, right, so we can increase production so we can get the prices down. No, they're going intentionally in the complete opposite direction, which is shut it all down. Listen to this first one here.
Secretary Helen, I don't know. You all just put out a statement. The U.S. Department of Interior just put out a statement. And the statement basically says a proposed program is not a decision to issue specific leases or to authorize any drilling or development. This is from y'all's office.
No drilling.
So it looks like you are on to shut everything down. Did you know you all put this out?
I am sorry. I am sitting in this hearing and not.
My God, somebody
I'm
shuts
sorry.
It down.
I'm sitting
shows
in this
hearing,
and I have
down.
No idea what it. Look at this. She looks crazy.
The Honorable Deb Haaland,
the
right?
And checked out mental.
This is the, sorry for the podcast audience, it's the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, right? So anyway, listen to her answer again here. What is she even talking about?
Any drilling or development. This is from y'all's office. So it looks like you are on to shut everything down.
A press release, right?
Yeah.
Did you know you all put this out?
I am sorry. I am sitting in this hearing and not.
My God, what? Somebody. It shuts it down.
That's it, folks.
It shows what your intent is.
This
so they
is
have
the
a
quality.
Press they release a news release that's saying shut it all down, and then he confronts her on this. She's supposed
oh,
to be
I'm sorry,
high
I'm
up
busy.
In this committee.
I'm sitting in this meeting right
now. I'm sorry. I'm sitting in this meeting. I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, really?
it's fascinating, right? And we have more on this too. So this is, and again, you know, Josh Hawley, whatever. It's like
Secretary Hawley. I don't know.
There we go. Josh Hawley is there as well. And again, I think that he mentions the first woman there. He had three women, right? And he should know. He does a good job, but this is what the Republicans do. It's all talk and blah blah. Look, oh, he's totally owning this, you know, this crazy Democrat here. But it's like, shouldn't he be able to pull together all this stuff about how she's intentionally talking about how we need to phase out of oil and gas? They're not even interested in producing any anymore.
That hard,
Like, anyway, we'll play the clips again to remind you of like what she said in the past. Look, it's good. I'll take it. Josh Hawley's better than much more sensible than many of all the other lunatics at this place, right? But anyway, check out this clip. A little bit longer, but it's a fascinating discussion here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to both of the witnesses for being here. Administrator Ruby, let me start with you. As you know, we're very proud in the state of Missouri of the work that's done at the Kansas City National Security Campus to support the nation's nuclear enterprise. I just wonder if you can give me an update on the NNSA's efforts to ensure that
this is kind of unrelated, but included. So I just can show you that it's like three women that's like responsible for this now.
Kansas City campus has the capacity it's going to need, the additional capacity it's going to need to meet production requirements in the coming years.
Thank you, Senator Hawley. We're also very proud of the Kansas City National Security Campus. And I'm pleased to report we're making good progress on expanding capacity and moving towards the purchase of facilities and land that could help us in the future make sure that we're right-sized at Kansas City.
So that means they're doing absolutely nothing. There won't be any land purchased. They're sitting in their offices, not only twiddling their thumbs, they're intentionally doing things that will lead to the collapse of our society. Anyway, that's
like
a side
note. Is someone telling them? Like, don't do your job?
I don't even think you have to, like, have
I mean, they're incompetent anyway. We know this.
Sure. That is true. But I think it's just this collective, like, yeah, we're going to plow and pivot and just drive it into the ground kind of thing. Anyways, that's beside the point. Here's the Jennifer Garland confrontation here. Check this out.
Good. Very good. Secretary Granholm, today in the state of Missouri, the average price of gasoline today, as of this morning, is $4.10. Average price of diesel is $5.18. And I'm sure you've seen the reporting this morning that now AAA is projecting that gas prices will hit a national average of $6 a gallon.
Oh, you wait. We're heading for 10. I'll show you that in a moment.
We're heading for Sweden prices
here. Yes, exactly.
By the month of August. Is this acceptable to you?
No, it is not. And you can thank the activity of Vladimir Putin for invading Ukraine and pulling
the toilets. With all due respect, Madam Secretary, that's utter nonsense. In January of 2021, the average gas price in my state was $2.07. Yeah. 8 months later, long before Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine, that price was up over 30%, and it has been going up consistently since. What are you doing to reverse this administration's policies that are drawing down our own supply of energy in this country, that are throttling oil and gas production in the United States of America? What are you doing about
it? With respect, sir, it is not administration policies that have affected supply and demand.
How can you say that when the price of gas was up over 30% from January to... You answer my questions. And it's my time, Madam Secretary, so why don't you answer my question? From January to August, the price of gasoline was up over 30%. In my state alone, it has been a continuous upward tick since then.
Yeah.
And here's what your president did when he first came to office. He immediately re-entered the Paris Climate Accord. He canceled the Keystone Pipeline. He halted leasing programs in Anwar. He issued a 60-day halt on all new oil and gas leases and drilling permits on federal lands and waters. That's nationwide. That accounts, by the way, for 25% of U.S. oil production. He directed federal agencies to eliminate all supports for fossil fuels. He imposed new regulations on oil and gas and methane emissions. Those were all just in the first
few days.
And they just claim environmentalism. That's how they hide behind
our energy supply.
Yeah, this is, you know, the great. If they didn't get the Green New Deal passed, so what they're doing, they're forcing it by this is like this is the ESG type mentality that's not only dominating the corporate world now, and the big companies such as BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street and all these things. But these politicians will intentionally do things by driving it into the ground so that will force behavior, right? That's what this is, force behavior to stop people from...
Make it so expensive.
Moving to the big mega
that
hubs.
You can't drive places or you can't eat as much. This is...
You can't farm on your own farm in the countryside.
They tried this stuff in parts of Europe already. I mean, this is what they do. They just make it so expensive, right? So then
that's what they did in Sweden too. Yeah, we're building out the commuter trains and stuff, but you are not going to have a car. That's not what this is going. Now, we're in this kind of like in between, like they will let you have an electric car for a while and then the electric prices will go up to such a degree that you have to stop driving that too. But anyway, there's more here. Check this out.
94% of the oil and gas executives that were surveyed by the Dallas Fed said that administration policies had nothing to do with the increase in the price of oil.
I'm not interested in opinions of these people. I'm interested in the facts. Are you telling me that these policies had no effect? Is that your testimony that these policies had no effect? Madam Secretary, are you telling me under oath that these policies had no effect?
Of course they did.
I'm telling you that 94% of the oil and gas industry...
I'm not interested in their opinion. I'm interested in the facts.
So, no, they did not. Ask Vladimir.
That is a remarkable...
Yeah, that's crazy. Again, I mean, Labrador Hayden, but under Trump, there was high energy, you know, production. And I don't even agree with some of the methods, but it's beside the point. You know, I don't like fracking or whatever, but, you know, they had driven up production so high that America stopped being dependent to a large degree on other countries. I think they were even, like, export, you know, became an exporter of energy at that point or whatever. They killed that, right? I mean, literally overnight. And now she's going to say, well, Putin, first thing. And now when that didn't work, she's going to pivot to COVID. Check this out here. Crazy lunatic, this
whole statement.
About the increase in demand and the decrease in supply from pulling Russian barrels of oil off the market, thanks to, rightly, the United States saying, we're not going to take Russian oil. Coming out of COVID.
So what explains the increase between January and August of 2021?
Coming out of COVID, there was an increase in demand because people were driving again. When there was no demand, the prices dropped. That is a basic law of economics. The prices dropped.
I have to say, Madam Secretary, with all due respect, your answers are insulting. And they are insulting to the people of Missouri who are looking for action. Now, you said 2 months ago your department was on war footing. What are you doing to bring down the price of gasoline, which has been going up consistently since you took office?
The price of gasoline is derived from the price of oil. The price of oil is at $110 a barrel.
What are you doing to decrease it?
On a global market. Sir, if you could let me finish.
If you would answer my question.
I am answering your question, sir. Oil is traded on a global market. We are paying extremely high prices today.
But you stopped the production. That's the point here. You stopped the production, so now it's going up, all right?
Just as they are in Japan.
What are you doing to get it down?
Just as they are in Germany.
Nothing.
Just as they are in South Africa.
What are you doing to get it down?
We are calling for an increase in supply. We are releasing a million barrels a day from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try to balance out.
Who are you getting it called for reserve? Increase in supply.
It is the largest tool that we have to be able to do that.
Who are you calling for an increase in supply from?
Our allies are
Senator Hawley, your time's expired.
Could I get an answer to this question, Mr. Chairman? Who are you calling for an increase in supply from?
From our domestic oil and gas manufacturers, from international oil and
gas
manufacturers.
Even as you cancel their leases?
Senator Hawley, if you want an answer, you have to allow the Secretary to answer.
She knows she's busted.
I've called repeatedly for increases in supply from...
But that's a reserve, right? You get like that's going to run out. You need to pick up. Men need to get to work and drill in the ground. That's just how it works. All right.
Domestic oil and gas manufacturers from international oil and gas manufacturers. We want to increase supply.
No,
and
you don't.
That's why the president released an unprecedented amount from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and our.
Well, that's a reserve because you want that in bad, not because you are doing inept and can't do your job, right?
She doesn't care. She probably has all these people have lots of money, right? So
this
doesn't affect
never
them.
Hurt.
You know, she'll
never,
still have her BMW and pay $20 a
kidding?
Gallon. You know,
when there basically are no gas-driven cars around anymore by law after 2030 or whatever, 2027. These people will be driving Humvees, like they will do the gas, you know, diesel-powered super yachts. That's what I was like, forget about it.
International allies also released from their reserves to try to balance out supply and demand while the oil and gas companies increase supply, and the Energy Information Administration has projected that they will have increased in the United States about 1 million barrels a day by the end of this year.
Well, that's bullshit. Anyway, so here she is. This is a while ago. We played this before, but just as a reminder, why couldn't Hawley bring this up and say, look, you've intentionally said that you want to go get off of oil and gas. So, of course, you wouldn't be incentivized to try to increase the production of it. Yeah. Anyway, check these clips out here.
But the bottom line is that this president and this administration are looking at every single tool to shield American families from the impact of rising energy prices.
Bullshit. Complete opposite.
And we're working through an energy transition.
Tip.
And we've got to start by adding energy. And the reality is
we'll here's some energy. Let's add
just
this
add
energy
it out
here.
Of nowhere. Yeah, there's a free energy source over here.
We have to take some time to get off of oil and gas. We recognize this is a transition.
Yeah, it's a transition.
There's nothing to transition to.
Well,
there isn't anything yet.
Electric, that's what they're saying. And again, here she is right down now. If you just had an electric car, none of this would.
What does that cost? $50,000 for?
Right. First of all, new car, which is how much oil does it take to produce one of those new cars, right? That beyond the toxicity of the battery, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have also increasing electricity prices, right? So now, basically, I think electricity prices on average for driving a car is higher right now than the gas prices in Sweden. At least was for a little bit. Maybe it's temporarily down, but that's where it's going, right? Here she is, anyway, a while ago, saying the very same thing about, you. Well, if you had an electric car, you'd be fine.
But the bottom line is
this is the wrong one.
We have the acute issues with the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack, but looking more holistically in a macro view, how does this speed up the efforts at DOE to move in more of a renewable direction, since this is going to have an impact on people at the pump?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously are all in on making sure that we meet the president's goals of getting to 100% clean electricity by 2035.
See?
And net zero carbon emissions by 2050. And, you know, if you drive an electric car, this would not be affecting you, clearly.
Absolute bullshit. So, again, by hook or by
crook.
I'm sorry.
Do you drive one, lady? I don't think so.
By hook or by crook, they'll do this
just
any
pull the plug,
means
right?
necessary.
See, we did it by 2030.
Yep. And so we couldn't get the Green New Deal passed. So we'll do it to you anyway, right? So here she is just a day or so before Hawley. Again, I wish he would like reference these comments from her. But here she is again doubling down on the electric car bullshit. And look at, again, consider the comments she's made, right, about Russia.
She has an agenda, right?
She has a Ukrainian flag next to her. Look at when they zoom in on full screen on her. Look at this here.
You know, even with additional releases from this reserve, we've not seen a huge difference in prices. So I'm wondering, like...
So in other words, what they're doing is not even helping. Of course.
Is it time to reexamine these strategies that are decades old, like the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and just come up with something different for managing gasoline? Why do we keep doing this?
Let's get rid of it altogether, right?
Yeah, one of the things to come up with is to electrify.
I'm sorry, but look at that. This is now your U.S. representative. Like, are you the energy secretary of Ukraine and the United States?
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
By the transportation system so that we are not subject to the whims of petro-dictators like Vladimir Putin.
Completely objective in her position here, of course.
Let's just be clear about the reasons for these prices being elevated. It is because Russia was a great exporter of oil on a global market. And when countries like the United States and others rightfully said that we are not going to be funding Vladimir Putin's war and we're not going to accept any of those barrels, that pulled about 1.5 billion barrels per day off of the global market. When that happened...
Well, then you need to increase the U.S. production then to make up for that. How do you...
It doesn't explain their rising prices beforehand, though.
Anyway, so then later in the clip she goes on about electrical cars and stuff. Like again, but Hawley should bring this up. Like, look, you've stated on the record like that you do not want oil and gas. That's obviously why you're not producing it, right? Mm-hmm. And remember this clip from Biden a while back? Oh, the whole military is gonna go green. Look at this.
In the United States military, every vehicle is going to be climate friendly. Every vehicle. We're gonna have a, no, I'm not right. You're spending billions of dollars to do it.
Any vehicle is going to have some kind of impact. This is just lunacy.
I mean,
total lunacy.
Until you have some like I don't know, you know, like something like I have in the just Matrix or something.
Driving our imaginary
like some,
cars.
You know, like fusion electric thing or, you know, whatever. Then maybe it would work, right? But now you're going to have like an electric vehicle out in the, you know, driving across. No, you need gas, you need diesel, you need like these powerful engines that are strong, that can do stuff. And like, yeah, some electric are, but no.
Holy cow, that is something big flying overhead right now.
It's loud. All right, hope you're enjoying that. Check out this. Here is the point I wanted to make with the driving behavior, right? We talked about ESG, the environment. Sonny just doesn't stop.
It's like an army of fighter jets above us right now.
Imagine when they are electric. Going, well, you won't hear that. It was just like, bzzz. This is BlackRock. The CEO, Larry Fink, talking about how to force behavior. Again, ESG, environment, social governance, right? That's what it's all about. Check this out here for a second.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
You hear that? We are forcing behavior. This is the mechanism of what they did in Sweden. They're forcing behavior by increasing prices on something, and then they say, see, will you look
That's
at
right.
this? Miraculously, we've gone down on production of oil, and now we're going green, everybody. So here's Washington State. They're not only running out of gas, they're upgrading their their machines and things to get ready for $10 a gallon.
Oh my
gas.
Gosh!
Right, you know how if you look at the image, we'll look. There's a clip here. We'll look at that. But you know how it's kind of like $5.69, right? There's no space for a one and a zero there, so they're gonna.
Oh, so the signage needs to change to facilitate
the machines, the signage, all of it, right? It's gonna have to be upgraded now. So it's because it's coming. Let's check out this clip here. Or is it just? Gas stations in Washington State have readjusted their pumps to display double digits readjusted. Here we go. The move comes as several gas stations in the Evergreen State ran out of fuel. Oh my god. The pumps at the 76 gas station, about 30 miles south of Seattle, were reprogrammed so that the display could indicate a price of at least $10 a gallon. Holy shit, can you imagine? We call it though. Currently, the average price of a gallon of gas in Washington State is $5.18, well above the national average of $4.59.
That's what happens in super left areas.
But there you go, exactly. The most expensive gas in the nation can be found in San Francisco, where motorists pay more than $6 a gallon.
Northfolk says, great story, Henrik and Lana. It shows that they wanted and needed the Ukraine crisis and the need to blame Putin to drive the larger social economic agenda forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. The UN, the World Economic Forum, all these crazy globalists, right? This is how they do it. And again, if you can't force behavior by having people voluntarily change something, you need a crisis. That's what they've said multiple times. You need a crisis to get people to go along with it. And this is our crisis, right? All right, so we got that.
Well, one of the other things is rising property taxes, because it's all part of the Great Reset, right? They don't want you living in your own house, right? They want you to own nothing and be happy, like this post says, right? They want you in these tall, eco-friendly gulags, right?
Gaylogs, am I right?
In these big cities, right? That's what they want. They don't want you having your own car. And it's obvious that they're going to try and squeeze people first by doing it financially, right? To make it so prohibitive that now you can't own a car, you can't drive. Now it will be that you can't afford the property taxes, so you have to sell that house that has been in your family or whatever. Or new people just can't even afford it. I mean, there's people... Now this story is focusing on Vermont. Now, Vermont is full of communists, so ha-ha, you kind of deserve it, right? Because you vote for this crap. You support this crap, and now it's going to be affecting you. But there's some places that they list in this article where property taxes has gone up in the last 2 years 30%.
Yep.
30%.
Right. Yep.
And that's thousands of dollars a year for people, which means that they won't be able to afford their house. They're going to have to sell it. They're going to have to go rent something. And even rent is like crazy money in some places right now, too. So it's all part of it, right? Like breaking people down, making things so expensive. I could see that, you know, bankrupt. corrupting people. They're going to be desperate and needy, and then they'll roll out the UBI, but then you have to live according to these standards and these food rations and you know, listen to what we say and do what we say. I mean, it's so obvious that it's all kind of coming together that way, you know, based on...
Yep, convergence of issues. You know what I mean? Yeah, here's the story, right? The next shock for homeowners, surging property taxes assessments. No, they want you in mega hubs, right? In big high-rises with VR headsets on and doing intravenous bug protein juice.
It's crazy.
Basically, right?
I mean, so, I'm glad we're still in Idaho, a place that's fighting that. I mean, the politicians in our area want to just do away with... There's been some that are running. They're like, we need to do away with property taxes on houses altogether.
Again, you own nothing. That's the goal here. That's what they're going for.
They want, but we want the complete opposite. Mick Dozer says, reality of inflation. I'm a homesteader, and I sold five dozen of organic free-range eggs to donate $25 to you today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Kind of you. Thank you.
I undercut the supermarket by $1 a piece. Things are only going to get worse, friends.
Yeah, I know. Yep, prepare now. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be, look, this is going to be down to willpower, preparation, obviously, and community. It's going to be, the community is going to be your number one asset here. But the second, part that you have to grasp onto is your willpower. You're going to have a vision for what you want. You're going to have to manifest that vision, and preferably you could do it with other people. It's very hard to do it by yourself, right? But hang on. That's going to be the number one issue. Ride that tiger, ride the wave, and just hang on as tight as you can. And just like, morale has to be real high, your willpower has to be real high, and eventually things are going to, at some stage, it's not going to feel like it when you're in the middle of that storm, and that's coming, by the way. That shit's coming. It's going to hit the fan. It's going to pick up tempo, but it's going to ease down. It's going to start getting better. And in fact, it is a time of great opportunity for everybody, because depending on just how hard they drive this into the ground, we could be at an era where we have a chance to actually do something again from the ground up, because the unstable nature of what they're trying to accomplish and achieve here will in fact be so unstable that it won't even last. You know what I mean? And they want to go for like high tech, AI bullshit, like a fourth industrial revolution stuff. All of this could just be like pipe dreams, high in the sky, cloud cuckoo land,
I think it is. They're going to have a real hard time pushing this agenda of total control. I mean, there's going to be a lot of non-compliance. There already is.
There already is.
It's going to be really difficult for them to implement this. They would need all these robots and high tech machinery and like, you know, beaming crap in your brain to totally control you in order to do what they want to do.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you know, you have even if they for some time manage to bring that into fruition, at some point you're going to have a solar flare, or you're going to have some kind of geomagnetic storm, or you're going to have some pole reversal, something that's going to knock this whole system out. And at that point, you're going to have basically a bunch of invalids, especially the more generations that are bred and you know, groomed essentially into a robotic Venus Project style society where everything's taking care of you, are literally not going to be able even to start a fire, right? These people are going to die. It's not fun to talk about, but that's just the reality of it, right? I think as they're going into their high-tech future, we need to familiarize yourself with like low-tech, like Bronze Age shit.
or at the very least,
like mid 1800s, before like major electrification of everywhere. Think
so,
something
Amish?
Like that.
Think Amish.
Amish will be fine. They'll do great. Yeah. Not a problem.
Go study with the Amish.
Let's lift
for a while,
this barn, you know.
Yeah, we had a friend that was over the other day that was saying that's what we need. When we have enough people around, you know, where we are. It's just like, come on, let's get 30 boys together and help frame up this house for, you know, Joe over here, and then we'll help with Steve over there, and then that's how it needs to be.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, especially with all these prohibitive costs everywhere too.
Oh, forced behavior. They force you to stop doing something. But again, if you create a parallel society, even a parallel economy where you barter, or you just help each other, that's just what you do. You don't need to be in their system. That's at the end of it, right? We can't produce everything right now, whatever. But at some point, if you have smart people and capable people, we can redo everything. Infrastructure, don't worry about it. As long as we have our people, remain who we are and continue to have our children continue through the generations, anything that you see today can be rebuilt. It's not about that anyway, to be honest, you know. Beer Hall Pooch says, Red S TV, thanks for your sensible takes on Ukraine. What a shame some in the nationalist community are dragging us into their private Hell. Yep. Yeah, I appreciate that. It's done to get you emotionally involved, no doubt. And again, using it as an excuse. But thank you. Appreciate that. And I think we had Let's Go from WTF before that over on Odyssey. So thank you. Okay, should we look at the Twitter thing? That was kind of funny in a way. There's two things I want to play. Project Veritas, this is, you might have seen some of it, but it's kind of funny, to be honest, right? So Elon is buying Twitter, right? Probably will close, and the conservatives are just like, I mean, I see some conservatives, they're like a crazy teenage girl for some like musician or something. Like they're throwing their panties at Elon, like, Elon, notice me.
I noticed that on like, Twitter when what? They tag him, like, I know, please like, respond
oh
to me.
Oh my God. Like,
notice
really?
Me.
I mean, they're trying to sell this guy really hard. Doesn't mean he's not going to do anything good. Doesn't mean they're, but it's like, you know, after all the Trump things and like, no, I just, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But there's going to be a trick here. But anyway. So despite that, of course, you have a bunch of, you know, commies in Twitter, which they're open about now. They, Veritas caught one of them, some Indian guy who's just like, one of the things says, we're commie as fuck, right?
Why can't he go be commie as fuck in India?
Well, you got to get
Pakistan or wherever.
He's here to enrich our society.
He wouldn't
dear.
Even work in India. They'd be like, nope.
Here's a little bit of that. Let's see how much we play of this, but let's check
it out. Do you think there's a difference between Twitter's definition of free speech and Elon's definition of free speech?
Twitter does not believe in free speech. Elon believes in free speech.
What do your colleagues say about it? Like,
they hate it. Some of my colleagues are like super left. You know, jobs are at stake. He's a capitalist. If we weren't really operating like capitalists more, we were like very socialist. Like, we're all like communist.
Of course
basically, you are. Went and worked like 4 hours a week last quarter. That's just how it works.
Mm-hmm.
4 hours a week.
That's
there you go.
Spoken like a true commie.
That's
right it.
That's your working
true
class
commie.
Hero right there.
Yep.
Four hours a fucking week.
And I got paid, right?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Basically, went and worked like 4 hours a week last quarter. That's just how it works.
Mm-hmm.
In our company. But Twitter is like mental health.
Our
everything.
Company.
Like, if you're not feeling it, you can take a few days off. You can take a month off.
Because he's right wing. Are damaging my mind. I need 5 weeks off.
I need an emotional counselor.
Parties can truly coexist on one platform.
I don't think we ever watched the rest of that. That's kind of cringe.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's that. And so, of course, there are commies. It's no secret. That's why we also use that term. But neoliberals aren't that much better. I'm not trying to say that that's an option to this. But anyway, so here's another one where a Twitter employee is running away from the guy there at Project Veritas, James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe. It's kind of funny. Here's Alex
literally
Martinez.
Running.
Was sprint away from James O'Keefe when questioned over his disparaging remarks mocking Elon Musk's Asperger. Hold on, let's check this out.
Out for a jog on the streets of New York with Twitter brass. Hi, Alex.
Hi.
I'm James O'Keefe with Project Veritas.
Oh my God.
You are on the camera.
Okay.
Talking about Elon Musk. Why is it funny?
Well, no, I'm just like, you're literally just trying to like capture me in the middle.
Yes. Quote, your special needs, your literally special needs. I don't even take what you're saying seriously.
There is something else, right? Yeah, exactly. Hang on. It doesn't even, okay, it froze up here. Sorry, guys. This is, what a mess. We'll go back here. I can't even pause it
it's
right
like,
now.
Wait, what is that?
What is the, oh, it's the New York Post thing. Okay, sorry about that. But it's frozen up, though. What the hell happened here? Let me reload that again. Sorry. It's interesting, but note that he says there, oh my God, I can't even believe like you're interrupting my lunch right now. It's like, you're part of a gang that's destroying people's lives. Like you're ruining their reputation. You're preventing them
their
from
livelihood.
Being to like, you know, operate, or they get fired from their jobs.
I'm trying to have
get,
my martini
you know.
Here, okay?
Oh my God.
Such a, these are
I'm
like.
In the middle of my own dinner?
He's a martini socialist here.
Let's right. play that again. Here we go. Everything went to shit here. Is that what happened? Oh, wait. I know what I did. Let's try this again. Here we go.
Just like you're literally just trying to like capture me in the middle of my own dinner.
Yes. quote, your special needs,
yes.
You're literally special
yes,
needs.
Yes, I am.
That's right.
I don't even take what you're saying seriously because you're special
needs. That's not true. I'm like, your special needs. You're literally special needs. Asked by people so that are coming on camera.
We're journalists, and I know that you don't believe in the First Amendment.
I'm going to just finish my dinner.
Your dinner is over there.
I love Elon Musk.
Love Elon Musk. If you look through the glass, he's sitting over there avoiding us. So this is you on video.
Fighting.
Like, yeah, you on video.
James, come on. You
get the f***
out of here.
Excuse me? Excuse me? Why are you cursing at me?
Come on, they ambush people all the time, leftists. All the freaking time.
There he is.
Oh, there he is.
Check this out. Like, they're running here. This is hilarious.
I want to take a jog. With, why are you running? You're literally disclosing an email. It says, here's the email. I can team, oh groups like Project Veritas are active right now. Right? Excuse me. Sir, what is he
doing? The door doesn't open. Yes. Yes.
I'm on the street in New York City.
How do you run in here? Maybe he's going to go on stage.
You tell me.
Stand up.
You could do that,
Jerry. Yeah. That would be good if you go on stage.
About to go on stage with a videotape of this Twitter executive and confront him. Here we go. Oh, there he is. He's turned around. There you are, mocking the special needs.
Mask on.
You
have
space,
already talked
why.
To us, sir. You are mocking Elon Musk's Asperger's condition. What is Twitter's ideology? The Twitter executive is walking into traffic. He's going back and forth, zigzagging like he's got into a cab. That was crazy.
Hell yeah.
All right. So it's a little showman. Like, I mean, it's draw. Like, it's, you know, Project Veritas is kind of over the top with some stuff too, but it's funny. Like, we can laugh at it at least, right? But the answer here again, it's the concern. You're you're the bigot. In a
yeah,
way, right?
I mean, I got you on camera. You're the one who says those things, right?
I mean, look, we should point it out because they've weaponized it against us, right? Because we don't
yeah,
want
whatever
something
you can get on them.
Then like, get oh, it. Then you know, you're racist or you're a bit whatever, right? But so it's I get it to kind of throw it back at them, but it's also saying that then that is how you win. That those concepts are the most powerful. That's why we have to use them as well. No. Get them on the fact that they're all commies and they're like ruining the First Amendment and free speech or, you know, whatever. But anyway.
Bill Hoover says the best thing about Project V is that these leftist dorks thinks they're going to get chicks and they just spill the beans easily. Well, that other guy I think is a homo based on the way he sounded and was running. But yes,
but
generally they do think that, right? when they send in the girl undercover yeah. or whatever and they just like have a few drinks
they
and they start and like saying every, hey, I'm a commie.
Brag.
Isn't that hot? Yeah. You want to do me now? It's just like, oh,
well, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know all the people in it. It's like I'm really high up there. I'm getting you know,
I work.
Yeah, you're not going to get late.
I work
okay?
4 hours in a quarter, baby. Aren't yeah. you attracted to me?
We're commies. We work 4 hours, 4 hours a day or a week. Was it a week? All right. So anyway, so you've had a bunch of stuff here with Mr. Musk, Muskelman, which is basically. He's going to vote Republican, and there's oh my God, what is it?
Well, you know, I mean, but that's good. You know. It's good though. Take that.
Oh,
least.
Sure. It's
just because liberals are so pissed off.
Again, it's funny, but it's low hanging fruit. You know, I wish if Elon was serious about his opposition to the other side, that he would maybe not go ahead with Starlink or artificial intelligence or brain computer interface things. You know, I don't know. Maybe not be at the forefront of the fourth industrial revolution. It could be good, but you know, anyway. So he sat here in one of his tweets. The attacks against me should be viewed through a political lens. This is their standard despicable playbook. But nothing will deter me from fighting for a good future and your right to free speech. I hope he's honest. It would be great if he is. But
yeah, he claimed to. Political attacks on me will escalate dramatically in coming months. Well, yeah, of course.
This is the thing, right? It's like Trump, right? Trump had all the right enemies, and that kind of fooled some people into thinking that he would do the right thing. And look, maybe he tried. That could still be argued, but he didn't do it. And in fact, it could even turn out that he's going to be wheeled out as kind of a savior, like but they're using Biden to drive everything into the ground, right? Then Zognald will come back in, just like I'm going to save the day. We're going to build a third temple in Jerusalem, everybody. And, you know, we're all going to be a nation under the foreskin collector, and it's going to be great, you know. So we'll see what happens. But maybe they will wheel out Donald at some point in 2024 here. But so he could very well be, you know, kind of the same. This could be the same game a little bit that for this to work and for people to, which I see happening now, they are like religiously drawn to Elon. They think he's a messiah.
Yeah, I mean, people fanatical about it. The right side or the conservative side, but the left side, I mean, they still hate him and don't want him in there.
Oh, sure.
All.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Exactly. No, the other side, this is how you do. You have two teams. Right, and you got to which team are you on? It's kind of like Russia and Ukraine. Like, well, who are you? So you criticize one side. Oh, that means you're on that team. And so you got to have that Hegelian dialectic. That's what this is, right? Everyone's stuck between a rock and a hard place. This is your only choice. There's no third options. This is, you know, either you're Biden or you're Elon Musk, or either you're Trump or you're you know, Obama or whatever.
Tilly helps us hire 3 to 5 employees. I don't trust them.
Yeah, like he would care about that, right? At this point,
fund the dissident writer.
I mean, yeah, the Starlink and the brain computer interfaces, like all that stuff, right? I mean, that's crazy stuff. Like, yeah. He's at the forefront of what the technocrats want. He's my point is, even if there's some side effects of what he's doing is yielding something good, like, sure, I'll take that. Okay, great. But at the end of the day, he's just like these technocrats in power. The only difference is what road there do we take? What path do we take? At the end of the day, he wants UBI. You know, he wants artificial intelligence. He wants a global brain. He wants 5G coverage.
He wants free speech, which is the one good thing, right?
I think that's the bribe that they'll throw in right now a little bit as some crumbs off the table so that we will kind of like
just to lure in all these his fan base into all these other things that he's interested in?
Yep. Absolutely. Wouldn't put that...
I mean, he dated Amber Turd, so how cool can he be, you know?
Oh, and then the Grimes? What was that about? We played a clip with her like 2 weeks back. Remember that? All the transhumanist stuff? Oh, the universe is becoming conscious with social media. Remember that?
Could just be a weird guy. Huh? Celebrate all his loss. Thank you. Says the martini guy runs like he has special needs and has Asperger.
Asperger's.
Dog Whistler, thank you. Because of busy schedule today, I've missed most of today's show. Have to watch the replay. But after this past week, now is more important than ever to support independent and alternative pro-Western voices like Red Eyes TV. Thank you, Henrik and Lana. Keep speaking truth, which is always greater than deceit. Thank you.
Thank you. Very nice. Appreciate comment. That. Good to see you. Celebrate all his loss. Hope you're doing well. All right, this is kind of a longer. I don't think we have time for it. We do have a little bit of time, but I did want to throw this in here. It's kind of interesting. Now, so Nina Jankowicz is out, right? The whole, what do you call it? The Ministry of Truth.
They'll be back with something else.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Disinformation Governance Board for now is on pause. She resigned because, oh my God, everyone's just attacking her for no reason whatsoever. So that's good. That's a win, but it's short term. We'll see what happens in the long run here. But Revolver News had an interesting story, which says Biden's Minister of Truth, Nina Jankowicz, participated in secret NATO-funded cabal to subvert Western democracies using disinformation as cover. This is one of the reasons why we're so against NATO. You know, you guys got to check out Operation Gladio. Back then, they blamed it on like right-wing networks and all that kind of stuff, right? But it was like NATO-funded terrorism. Right, check it. There's some documentaries out there still. Search for Operation Gladio. Look at some of that. NATO is primarily funded by the U.S., but there's, you know, other globalist powerful entities kind of weaved into that agenda. You know, whether even if the funding comes from like Belgium and France and Germany and whatever, right? England. On top of it, it's an international military alliance which is constantly running gay ops on different nations to scare them into submission, to get them to go along, blah, blah, blah. So why we don't like NATO. We don't like NATO because they're part of the globalist problem, right? And so when they are telling us that, well, everybody needs to line up to fight Ukraine here, fight Russia in Ukraine, it's kind of sensible to be skeptical of this, right? You're just going to put a NATO flag in your goddamn Twitter profile like you're retarded, like something's wrong with you. So anyway, so he went through mentioning just like a couple of examples of just the interconnectedness of some of these organizations. And I brought it up too because it was an interesting, it's a longer article, so we won't have time to go through all of it. But do you remember, Lana, when we had a run-in with, let me read this first. The Institute of Statecraft, right? Remember Stagecraft, that's a thing, right? Funded in mid-2015 under the auspices of the UK government, The government-funded NGO Institute for Statecraft, the Integrity Initiative, boasts a precious, fashionable motto defending democracy against disinformation, against all these Nina Jankowicz, all these NATO-backed organizations and NGOs, right? Even the, what was it, the Integrity Election Project, kind of adjacent as well, where they, you know, they took the the election for Biden, essentially, right? The Integrity Initiative defended democracy by recruiting secretive clusters of academics, national security bureaucrats, journalists, think tanks, and lobbyists in middle European countries. These clusters would then engage in various ways to address nation-specific threats of so-called Russian disinformation. In its organization, funding, operation, structure, and rhetoric, the Integrity Initiative is the single best template for understanding how the entire hornet's nests of NGOs, journalists, and national security bureaucrats work secretly and in concert to wage psychological warfare against citizens of the West. One cannot understand how this disinformation industry functions without understanding the little-known and now defunct Integrity Initiative, right? And he goes through that a little bit. But we had a run-in. This is an example. It's interesting. Do you remember Ben Nimmo?
Yep.
Let me see if I can find that portion in here. He was at that time part of the Atlantic Council, which I think, which is, you know, it's basically NATO, you know, money kind of thing, right? But we had released a short video on Twitter that got boosted from a secondary account. And it was about, you know, it's the good old days of like, what, 2017 or something, maybe even 16. When Trump had talked about what happened in Sweden last night or whatever, right? And we did a video of like, you know, SOS Trump, like, you know, help Sweden, you know, like to get some attention and buzz around all this, right? But this guy, Ben Nimmo, got involved. And he's writing.
He was the one who accused me of also being affiliated with Putin, and because I was Russian and all this stuff.
He made up all these things about how we were like Russia tied and connected, and all the research I did is always on Twitter. It's not even outside of the bubble of Twitter. It's all like, well, here's this account, and we don't really know who that is, and he's artificially boosted our video. And so that's Russia doing that somehow. This is Russian disinformation. Anyways, this guy, this dweeb, went on to, of course, go work for Facebook, right? Perhaps more ominous than the fact that Facebook funded the Integrity Initiative is the fact that the name Ben Nimmo appears as an apparent member of the Integrity Initiative's UK cluster. Right here with Nina Jankowicz. See Ben's name, the third from the top in the inner... in the UK inner core Russia cluster. So this is from a leaked document, right? At the time of the leak, Ben Nimmo worked for a group called the Digital Forensics Lab, DFR Lab. The DFLR Lab is a subsidiary of the, as I said, the Atlantic Council, an NGO which is also funded by the British Foreign and Commonwealth Office, NATO, and the US State Department. The group brags that it has operationalized the study of disinformation by exposing falsehood and fake news. You know what that means. Nimmo and DFR have become notorious for accusing all sorts of journalists and even random civilians of being, here it is, Russian bots, right? The Integrity Initiative's leaked handbook identified Ben Nimmo's DFR lab, along with BuzzFeed and a handful of other organizations, as friendly outlet to rely upon when conducting its influence operations. So this ties into Musk and Twitter and why they're outraged and stuff. All of this is built around using Twitter as a force multiplier, as an amplification mechanism. Yeah. It's super important to them, right? Anyway, here's some more of that. What is Ben Nimmo's current position? If you guessed it, Ben Nimmo now works at Facebook and helps to lead Facebook's global threat intelligence strategy against influence operations, you'd be correct. And of course, who placed us on the most dangerous individuals list, together with Hermann Göring and, you know,
Himmler, right?
anyway, it goes. Here's the guy. Look at this guy. This is the guy who's telling us about who's a Russian bot and fake news and shit like that. This dweeb, Ben.
Yeah, I saw he was just posting the 4 Ds of disinformation. Dismiss the critics. Distort the facts. Distract from the original accusation. Dismay the audience. I'm like, well, this is what they do. Yeah, I love it how they spell it out themselves.
Yep. Anyway, it's a very interesting article, and it goes through just the interconnectedness, the networks, where the money comes from. And look, NATO has a huge finger in this pie of what we've seen happen in the West the last 20, 30 years. You could argue that NATO with their gay ops and even false flag have helped with immigration and stuff like that, and then they use that, of course, the conflict that comes out of immigration and multiculturalism as an excuse to come in and bring more security to the table, right? This is interesting too when it comes to Sweden and Finland's membership. Someone was theorizing that it could even be due to the fact that Sweden specifically, but to some extent Finland, have lost control in terms of like the violence on Monopoly, right? You've seen these migrant riots and stuff. You're seeing the armed gangs. You're seeing hand grenades, explosions.
So now they're worried about stuff. Security, having some backup.
They're literally thinking we might have to have NATO in place to continue to secure monopoly violence for the state. Like even our military couldn't do it at this point, certainly not the police. There's all these weird tangents on this of why it's mainly against Russia and stuff, but I'm saying the reason why our Swedish politicians have partially started contemplating this NATO membership, and they've submitted their application, by the way, so that happened a few days ago, is because on some level they know that they have like lost the country, and this might be their only resort to maintain some. And again, what kind of order would that be when these are some of the forces behind?
Some of them are also batshit crazy and actually think that Russia is going to invade Sweden. Remember, they had leaflets and drills about that. Like, why the hell would Russia want to come like boots on the ground in Sweden and
take over Sweden and Norway? Illogical. And they're using this fear to drum this up continuously to scare people into submission, right? But in fact, now when we're joining NATO, for the first time, we do actually have a crosshairs on it, right? And specifically Finland, right? I mean, they share a long border with them. And if NATO is coming in there, going to start putting weapons on the border, like, look, Finland is going to be like in a war, right? All right. Anyway, and at that point, of course, then it's NATO that's at war with Russia and, nukes, right? So nukes, welcome. All right. Horrible. Let's do, I think there's one of the last thing we'll do here, we'll cover. Three crazy Democrats have introduced a bill that proposes that the Department of Justice need to issue a license, a federal license for your gun purchases.
Oh, you know where that's going. You know where that's going.
And miraculously, this just happened to come right in the wake of the Buffalo shooting.
The DOJ also thinks that people that are patriots and Trump supporters are terrorists, right? So they'll put them on some list. Sorry, you can't get a license, right? All those gun-toting Americans won't be able to get a license. I mean, that's what they want anyway. I don't see this passing, but...
It won't, but...
They're trying. They try all the time. In all these, backhanded ways, they try.
Well, and again, eventually, through demographic replacement and more lefty lunatics, eventually someone like this will pass, right? Because there won't be enough Republicans in place to at least hold back the insanity, right? So, it says here, a trio of senators plan to introduce legislation on Thursday that will require residents to acquire a Department of Justice license before purchasing or obtaining a legal firearm. The bill would also raise the legal age for obtaining a firearm to 21 years old. The bill was introduced by Senators Cory Cokehead, Bob Menendez, and Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut. It has virtually...
Look at the demographics of those three.
It has virtually no chance of becoming law given GOP opposition. That's good, but gives a sense of the breadth of restriction on gun access that some lawmakers would favor imposing in the wake of years of mass shootings in the nation. Yeah, totally not a gay op or anything like that. Here's a story that broke it down a bit more. Let's see if I can zoom in here. Can I zoom into this? Make it bigger, please. There we go. Joe Biden, Cory Booker, and Dick Blumenthal just introduced a nuclear gun control bill that would effectively take away the right to own a firearm in America by requiring all gun owners to get a license from the DOJ before they can receive or buy a firearm. They also wanted background checks, fingerprints, live fire testing, written testing, serial number of model and make of the firearm that you're buying, and that would be, again, required by the Department of Justice to prove all of this, right, that you're like a... And again... Anything, if you did the wrong social media posts now or with the wrong opinions, sorry, you're denied, right?
I mean, a concealed weapons permit test, several of those, not a written test, but you do the fingerprints and...
Sure.
I don't know. I don't remember like the serial number and stuff like that. No. But you do a live test and stuff like that. But this is, full on DOJ. We're not talking just going and under a gun instructor who sends the paperwork into the state or whatever.
No, I know. It's pretty crazy, right? You know what? I want to play, let's play this clip too, and then we'll wrap up after that. But I wanted to play, so your video about the replacement will go up here a little later today, I think, right? That's basically done. So check Red Eyes TV and redeyesmembers.com because it will go up there on the replacement. But it was one clip that I didn't end up including it because it would have been a little bit too long. There's still a good portion there of like words from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And it's in their own words of like how they're, you know, they're working on replacement. But I wanted to play this. It's a few minutes long and this could be something good to end on. We'll come back again and say bye after this. But you tell me that this replacement thing isn't really happening after watching this.
This white supremacist theory that Jews are driving for, quote, open borders to replace, to commit white genocide, as they call it, to replace America as it looks today with Muslims and Mexicans and other people.
Jews are the ones who want to welcome refugees because it's a conspiracy. And the truth is that, yes, there are Jews in Pittsburgh who are working to resettle refugees. That is true.
White Americans who feel that they're losing their country, they're losing ownership of the country. And they're right. I mean, we are becoming more diverse, more multicultural. And they are, in the end, they are not the future. In the end, the power they still have will go away.
That we're witnessing the end of white America as we know it. The question is, how long and how expensive will the funeral be?
Brown people and black people and Muslims and immigrants are coming to replace our white civilization. And the Jews' job is basically to pass as a white person, but in fact do the bidding of these people that
so
we
do. So there are many people who are biologically and even halachically Jewish, that is to say they are Jewish. They brainwashed people to subscribe to the notion that the most desirable utopian reality that could be hoped for in human affairs would be a complete admixture of the nations, of the ethnic groups, and of the cultures.
It's a kind of utopia, just the fact that the whole world will mix up with each other, that in, I don't know, 70, 80 years, there will be no white people anymore, and only cappuccino-colored people.
Look, that's the only way. This is the only solution.
But when the diversity becomes so extreme that you have almost like balkanized groups, that there are no actual traditional communities, all the traditional communities are outnumbered completely by newcomers, and the newcomers keep on and on rolling in, it has a very alienating effect.
Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America, from then and on, will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of worship.
All right, there you go.
It's a bad thing. It's a very bad thing.
But, you know, it's not happening or whatever. There's Michael Ian Black on Twitter.com. All these white dudes shooting shit up makes me think maybe they should be replaced.
I love that guy. What's your real name?
My birth name is Michael Ian Schwartz, which I assume you know. Are you attempting to make some sort of anti-Semitic point?
Sometimes the truth is, huh?
I don't know. Whatever, man.
Or as people corrected me on my last tweet, it always is.
it always is. That's right. All right, boys and girls, we're going to start wrapping up right there. A special thanks today to our executive producers. We do appreciate you. Scott Henderson, T. Lothrop Stoddard, Tom Bourne, John Hamm, and, of course, Saul Shekelstein.
Same thing.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. If you want to check that out, subscribestar.com/redice is the Subscribestar, where you can get a membership. We have that right there. I know you have a couple.
I have a few here. Odin's Ravens. We don't even have the power infrastructure to support everyone to have these electric vehicles. Precisely.
Exactly.
Archie, yep. Lana, I enjoy the attitude and sense of freedom expressed by you and Witski. I shared the vid with some conservative friends that need encouragement to break their yellow fever and have white babies. Very nice. Yeah, that was a good talk. Lauren Witski, if you guys didn't see that, go see that. Share that around. It's a good one. Ma6 Guerrillion says perhaps instead of licenses, we should just put the group of people that do the majority of crime involving guns on boats and point them towards their native continents. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would
Why
be...
not? Why not? Yep.
And you know they wouldn't go.
No,
they
not,
wouldn't go.
Not probably not voluntarily. But again, it would. Wouldn't that solve racism if we're so horrible? It is. It's even this, like, you know, you see targeting now of, like, you know, Idaho, even specifically North Idaho. There's
I was
people
attacked
around
in
here
a,
and stuff,
a hit
right?
piece recently on yeah. Idaho.
And
by
it's
the
like
way.
if we're so horrible and so despicable and evil, horrible, like, let us just be here then. Let us have a little area and we'll won't bother you. Okay, right? No, this no. Our very existence is predicated on us getting in your business.
Well,
and
the
making
funny
sure
thing is about attacking Idaho and precisely exactly northern Idaho is because it's thriving, it's doing well, the economy is great, it's safe. You have all these really cool indie mom and pop shops, and it's beautiful and it's conservative, right? It's doing well and thriving without all these shit lib values and policies, and they can't have that, right? Mm-hmm. Because it just It says the opposite of all the messages they're trying to tell us. It's just funny because this area gets accused of, Nazi town and all these white supremacists. It's also one of the hottest real estate markets in the country right now.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, yep. Man. Cracks
funny,
me up.
It's funny, isn't it? Yep. All right, guys. Subscribestar.com/redice. Join us over there. Consider signing up for a membership. It's $10 a month, but you can do a one-time payment as well. And if you do sign up for a one-time payment, we offer subs from 3 months up to 2 years, and it gets cheaper the longer subscription you get. You can do that over at entrepreneurs.live/redicetv. They do have a subscription option there for auto-recurring, or you can do a one-time payment. We also have the Cash App. That is up and running. We have an e-check option for those of you in the U.S. We do accept cryptos, and we do have a mailing address as well. Here are a couple of links for you guys if you want to check it out. Some new channels for you, basically, right, to check out. We are on BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble, Gab TV. Yes, we do have an Instagram. We do have a YouTube. We're also on Truth Social and on VK. We'll see how long some of those mainstream options work there for you guys, but that's what it is right now, at least.
I was actually encouraged, speaking of all these links, you know, we've kind of spread the eggs out in all these baskets. I was encouraged because there was a girl who was doing my hair the other day, and we were just talking, you know, politics, and she's like, oh, I go to Rumble and BitChute and Odyssey. I was like, yes. And she was like, you know, a 25 or something. I'm like, it's getting out there. You know, it's getting out there amongst the people that want that knowledge, that are seeking that knowledge. So that's very encouraging.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's we got them on the run. This is why they're terrified. This is why they have to shut everything down. This is why they basically are like trying to control the discourse. They're I mean, ultimately, and maybe we'll talk more about this later in another show here soon. But there are some mainstream Republicans now that are like standing their ground, right? They're like, we're replacement is real, and you guys are doing that. We're not going to back off, and this is great. Progress. We are in a very good time. The next step now is to
get... We mainstreamed it, right? Yes. We mainstreamed this. We've been talking about this for years. So many of us on the real right or the dissident, whatever you want to call it, have been talking about this, been talking about it, and we've been banned and censored and silenced, and voila. It's still in the mainstream, right?
Yeah.
So, Henrik, as we say, the next thing that needs to be mainstreamed, and as I say in my video, is the G word, genocide.
White genocide, that's right. Yep, that's coming up next here because, it took, I think we said this at a time, but usually we're like 10 years, and again, we're groundbreaking or anything. It's a ton of people have talked about this since the 70s. For
decades.
Sake. Even earlier, right? They saw what this is going. But again, we're standing on shoulders of giants, as they say, right? Someone laid the groundwork, they blazed the path, and that causes people to dare to venture onto that path, right? It's there, it's staked out. And, I think we've helped a little bit with that, and then other people are more inspired, they wake up more people, and that's how it goes,
yeah,
right?
Someone just shared the interview that I did with, I had Tim Murdoch on, you know, this is my 10-year anniversary, right, for 314,
yeah.
But the big show, The War on Whites, I think it was 8 years ago now, and someone was just sharing that, it was like prophetic that they were sharing it and getting people to listen to that again, and as I was doing this last video, I was like, oh, here we're coming full circle, I'm giving the UN definition of genocide again and just detailing like all the things that are happening and how this is happening in whole and in part, you know, almost 10 years later, and and it's going to go mainstream.
It is.
There's no way around it.
Yep, absolutely.
Because everything else we've talked about is gone mainstream. I mean, we just went out the other day, and just like you have these random conversations with people. I know it's Idaho, but just like people know about weather modification. Time, yeah, what's going on with the weather? Well, you know, they're probably messing with the weather. It's just, and this kind of stuff was, oh, tinfoil hat, crazy town, you know, many years ago. But a lot of this information is coming out. Yeah, the government has this technology. They are using it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They are messing with things, and they are decades ahead of some of the tech that they have. And unfortunately, we're playing defense, but not for long. We're organizing. We're building networks. We're informing people. We're waking people up. We're spreading the word.
We're able to see where they're going with this, right?
Despite all their control, despite all their clampdown, they still is ultimately, look, they're winning still, of course, on the sense that they're like, yeah, they're ruining our countries. They're globalizing much of things, right? But the opposition is forming, and they're sensing that, right? There's blood in the water. They're panicking. They're getting afraid. And that's a good sign. That's a really good sign. So don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged, because our work is
a long game.
Just beginning.
It takes time.
Right? Yeah. All right, boys and girls, that's it for us today. Then no weekend warrior here, because we're busy over the weekend. But, well, we're working on a kind of, a renaming in a way. We'll probably do Western Warrior. We'll do a little bit of a renaming. And partially, that's because sometimes on the weekends, actually, it didn't used to be like this, but we have so many good people around here, so we kind of we hang out with people on the weekends, and then you can't
do as
much prep.
Other people work during the week, so, yeah, things are going on.
Yeah, we'll see. I might do that soon here. We'll change it to Western Warrior, and that way, you know, if it goes up on a Monday or Tuesday instead, that way it doesn't feel like, you know, oh, what the hell is done on the weekends? But anyway. So we'll still do something either Monday or Tuesday. Again, exclusive up at redicemembers.com. So please join us over there. Please support us if you do like our work, if you appreciate what we do and want to ensure that we can continue. And again, as I said, we have aspirations to expand, again, at the despite all the odds and the gay ops and stuff like that. It will help to put everything back into Red Ice. We want to employ people again so we can produce more for you guys and get
wouldn't
the word out.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Here, so.
Yes.
All right. But yeah, that's it for us then. We will see you guys soon. Take care. Keep fighting, bros and lads, ladettes. And we'll
have
see
a
you
good
guys
weekend.
Later. Take care. Bye.
Do you love Red Ice? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Ice membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Ice. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.